Hare Krishna. So we're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 4, Text Number 30. Hiranyakashipu terrorizes the universe. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tasha Doitya Pate Putrash Chattabra Paramabhuta Prarado Abun Mahams Tesham Guner Mahad Upashaka Tasha Deitya Pati Putrash Chatvaraha Paramabhutam Praradhobum Mahamstesham Guner Maharupashakam Hashadetya Pati Putras Chatvaraha Paramabhutam Praradho Bunmaham Stesham Guna Maharupashakam Dasha Deitya Pati Putras Chatvaraha Paramat Bhuta Praradho Bunmaham Stesham Guner Maharupashakam Tasha Deitya Pate Putras Chatvaraha Paramat Bhutan Praradho Bunmaham Stesham Guner Maharupashakam Tasha Deitya Pate Putras Chatvaraha Paramat Bhutan Radobumaham Stesham Guner Maharupashakam Tasha Deitya Pati Putras Chatvaraha Paramat Bhutan Radobumaham Stesham Guner Maharupashakam Tasha Deitya Pati Putras Chatvaraha Paramat Bhutam Paradobumaham Stesham Guner Maharupashakam Tasha Deitya Pati Putras Chatvaraha Paramat Bhutam Prarado Bunmaham Stesham Guner Maharupashakam Tasha Deitya Pati Putras Chatvaraha Paramat Bhutam Prarado Bunmaham Stesham Guner Maharupashakam Tasha of him, Hiranyakashipu Doitya Pati, the king of the Doityas, Putras, sons. Chatvaraha, four. Parama Adbhuta, very qualified and wonderful. Praradha. The one named Prahlad. Abhut. Was. Mohan. The greatest. Tesham. Of all of them. Gunai. With transcendental qualities. Mahat Upashaka. Being an unalloyed devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Translation of Purple by His Divine Grace, the Boy Charanaravinda Bhaktivedanta Swami Shri Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hiranyakashipu had four wonderful, well-qualified sons, of whom the one named Prahlad was the best. Indeed, Prahlad was a reservoir of all transcendental qualities because he was an unalloyed devotee of the Personality of Godhead. Please repeat. Hiranyakashipu had four wonderful, well-qualified sons, of whom the one named Prahlad was the best. Indeed, Prahlad was a reservoir of all transcendental qualities because he was an unalloyed devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Purport. Yashasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchanam sarvaigunas tatra sam sati suraha. In one who has unflinching faith, devotional faith in Krishna, all the good qualities of Krishna and the demigods are consistently manifest. Bhagavad Gita 5.18.12. Prahlad Maharaj is praised herein for having all good qualities because of worshipping the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, a pure devotee who has no motives has all good qualities, spiritual and material. If one is spiritually advanced, being a staunch liberal devotee of the Lord, all the good qualities are manifest in his body. On the other hand, harav habhaktasya kuto mahatguna, if one is not a devotee, even if one has some materially good qualities, they have no value. That is the verdict of the Vedas. O magyanti mirandasya jananjaran chalaka chakshurun menatam jina tasmai shri gurvi namaha. Jai Shri Krishna, Chaitanya, Prabhu Nityananda, Shri Advaita, Gadadhara, Shri Vasari, Gaur Bhakta Brinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari. Hari Rama, Hari Rama, Rama Rama, Hari Hari. If one has all the good qualities or is a devotee of Krishna, means he's going to associate with Krishna. If he's a devotee, and because he associates with Krishna, then he picks up Krishna's qualities, all these good qualities that we hear of here in the Lord and the demigods and devotees, they're all Krishna's qualities. So if you associate with Krishna, naturally you're going to pick up on these qualities, you're going to feel these qualities, they're going to rub off. Just like the diamond stone, transparent, sparkly. When you put it next to something else, it assumes that colorish. You put it next to a red, it'll become pinkish. If you put it next to green, the diamond will become a greenish tint. So like that, the devotees who associate with Krishna and Krishna's devotees, they also pick on the same qualities. So all the demigods, all the good qualities of demigods are manifested in a person who is a devotee of Krishna. So here is talking about Hiranyakashipu, who had four sons, wonderful, well-qualified sons, he said. And the best one, his name was Prahlad. Why? Because he was an unalloyed devotee of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So here we're reading, hearing about the qualities of Prahlad, because of his becoming a great devotee of the Lord. Excuse me. But how did Prahlad become a qualified devotee of the Lord? What was the cause of Prahlad becoming a devotee?
Listening.
In the womb. Hearing.
In the womb.
Very good. What? He heard his spiritual master within the womb of his mother. Thank you. That's the answer I wanted. It's complete. Pardon? Yeah, previous life. But that's difficult to understand, previous lives. There are many stories of Prahlad in previous lives also. But anyway, this one we're concerned about. Yes, mercy has to be there. Krishna or the devotee's mercy has to be there. Thank you. That's it. So, yeah, he simply heard from in the womb about Prahlad, and then he became that great devotee. So how powerful is the sound vibration? Srimad Bhagavatam. Simply hear it. Goes in, it'll absorb all the, kicks out all the unwanted things, and establishes the lotus feet of Krishna and his service. So, well, just like the chanting of Hare Krishna, 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 Hari Hari, Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hari. We are Shravanam Kirtanam, we're hearing and chanting. Chanting, we're hearing when we're chanting. So powerful is that sound vibration that completely purify one's existence and create this a verse in the third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam speaking of the creation of the material world. Beginning of creation was sound and the ether became manifest. It's that verse that begins with describing how the material sound vibration, material world began with sound. Sound made the ether, the air, the touch, the scent, the smell, right down to gross earth. It's a analytical breakdown of the how the material world was created step by step. So it all begins from a sound vibration. And Prabhupada says in the purport, everything we need here in this material world for our, we think, our necessities. You need some cloth, you need food, you need a house. These are the basic necessities. Whatever necessities you need are created by sound vibration. Because that's a subtle form of all the forms and experiences in this material world. It's all coming from a sound vibration. So Srila Prabhupada says, now if everything in this material world, all of your necessities are coming from a sound vibration, materially, then if you spiritualize that sound vibration by chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Ram, Ram Ram, then all your spiritual necessities are created. So here's the answer. Everyone's saying, how do I chant properly? How do I become offensive? How do I become humble? How are you? Here's the answer. Chant Hare Krishna. That'll create whatever you want, all these things. We're aspiring for all these good qualities. The holy name will create all these good qualities. It'll create your advancement in spiritual life. What things you don't want, it'll disperse. Things you want, it'll manifest. In other words, it creates your pathway back home, back to Godhead, and opens the door to Godhead also, and pushes you into Godhead also, chanting Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hari Hari, Hari Ram, Ram Ram, Hari Hari. Who else heard in the womb? Who? Dhruva Maharaj? No. He heard from his mum and dad.
Parikshit Maharaj, yes. How long did he stay in the womb? Yeah. 16 years in the womb. He became self-realized. He heard from the mercy of his spiritual master, Vyasadeva. Yesterday? Yeah, okay. So he heard the Srimad Bhagavatam. He came completely purified in the womb. All he did was hear. He couldn't do anything else, actually. But he heard that sound vibration. Became completely purified. This is the benefit of hearing. It's specifically hearing purifies. It's the great purifying agency. So it purifies, and yeah, so much so that Shukadeva Goswami said, what's the point of coming out of the womb? It's all, I'm going to get entangled in mire, and this world of mire is so heavy there. Better that I stay up in this pack. Up in this miserable, so-called miserable condition, rather than go out and become, lose my Krishna consciousness by the waves of material nature. So he decided to stay in the womb. He thought it better to stay here for 16 years. Then eventually come out. Why? He heard from? Krishna came and told him. So again he heard. Okay, so then he came out. But he maintained his Krishna consciousness very nicely. Thank God. Now we have Srimad Bhagavatam that we can follow in the footsteps. Who else heard? Krishna said, have you heard properly? Is your illusion now gone? Have you regained your memory? Arjuna, yes. The whole of Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna is hearing. As a result, I am now freed from all these impurities. I've regained my consciousness. My illusion is now gone. My illusion is now gone and I've regained my memory. What memory? Huh? Yeah, he remembered who he was. He said, no, my illusion is gone. I was an illusion. I was identifying myself as Arjuna and a member of the Jadu dynasty. And I had this was my memory. I thought I got to kill my family. That's illusion. I have nothing to do with my family members or this body. It's all an illusion. So my illusion is gone. First the illusion, now I've regained my memory. So this is the idea, purify your existence, get rid of the illusion. Then your memory will be rewarded. I didn't know.
When Prahlada Maharaj was hearing, the mother was hearing too. Why she is not a pure devotee? Why do you not know anything about her? Because she was hearing same things
the
same time.
Don't worry, she goes with Prahlad Maharaj. She was there with Prahlad Maharaj. She went to which loka? Anyway, the Lord was there with Prahlad. She was there also. She was his, what they call it, Vartaman Guru? Vartapadashini Guru. Just like Dhruva's mother, she instructed him, go to the forest. So that was the guru's advice. So she gets the benefit. The mother got the benefit. She went with Prahlad. Eventually Prahlad goes back to Godhead, so she'll go with him.
The defect was not the same.
Huh?
The result was not the same. They were both hearing same
why not the same result? She was, she was more forgetful than Prahlad. She was a woman also. A woman also. They considered not be able to hold the intelligence so long. In general, even the topmost woman of this universe, Parvati Devi, she asked Gauranga, please teach me about the glories of Navadvipam. He said, I already instructed you. But because of your being a woman and you're being addicted to speculative shastras like the tantras, because her husband writes the tantric shastras and she's absorbed in them, maybe you have forgotten because of that. So he gave a few reasons, because she was a woman, because she was forgetful, because she was a bit too much absorbed in the different tantric shastras, which weren't promoting pure bhakti. So a few reasons are there. But we understand she goes back to Godhead, like Dhruva's mother. Where were we? Okay. We went back to Pallava. Yeah, now my illusion is gone. Now I've regained my memory of who I am. Arjuna was thinking, you know, I'm a king. But now he knows who I am. Now I'm free from it. Now I'm ready to fight. I have heard you. Because Krishna said, have you heard me? Arjuna said, yes, I have heard. And what was the result? Illusion went. Then memory was given, his memory of his self, of his real identity. So, now I am free from illusion, Krishna, Arjuna. After hearing from Narad, Prahlad also, he became free from illusion. After hearing from Vasudeva, Shukadeva Goswami become free from illusion. And what did Arjuna accredit to? What did he accredit this to? I become free from illusion. I've got my regained my memory. I understand. Next verse, next line. By your mercy, he's speaking to Krishna. Mercy has to be there. So he got these things and he is recognizing the cause of the thing as the mercy of Krishna, or in this case it's the mercy of the devotees also. So Shravanam Kirtanam, which is the island of Shravanam in Navadvip. Kadrim, no. That's Kirtanam. Simandadeep. Each of the islands, we got Navadeep, Simandadeep, Madhuradeep, Godramadeep, Chanadeep. Each represents one of the nine angas of bhakti. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Smarana, Vandana, Padasevanam, etc. So the first one, Shravanam, that's why we begin our Prakram part to get Simandadeep generally. They go to the Mayapur Jogpit, take your blessings from Mahaprabhu and Ketrapol and Prodamaya to be able to, and then you start the Prakram in Srimantadvip, then go to so first is hearing, then chanting, Shravanam Kirtanam. If you don't hear, how can you chant? If you don't hear, what are you going to chant about? So first you hear, then you chant. You repeat or you ask questions, but you chant. So hearing comes first. Shravanam. Who did Shrimantini or Parvati Devi, who did she hear from? She heard from Karanga. Previously heard from Lord Shiva, who was her husband. You better go Navadvip if you want your good fortune, immediately go to Navadvip and meditate on Gauranga. So immediately she left, she came here to, she heard Shiva, she came here to Shimantadeep. She was meditating on Gauranga as instructed, as she had heard from Shiva. Then again Gauranga came and she heard from Gauranga. Parvati heard, and what did she say? My illusion is now gone. I've regained my memory. I've regained my mentory. By your mercy. I've regained my memory of who I am. I thought I was a material energy. Maya Devi, she is a material energy. And this is Parvati. She said, I thought I was this material energy. Maya. But actually, I'm spiritual energy. Gauranga enlightened me. Gauranga said, This was Parvati's plea, plight. You, Gauranga Mahaprabhu, you have come to give freely to anyone and everyone. Raja Prema. But I am Maya Devi. I'm the shadow energy. Shadow means you're always behind. You cannot stand in front of the sunshine. The shadow cannot stand in front of sunshine. It always has to be backside. So I'm the shadow energy. I'm the shadow energy. Chaya Eva Durga Brahma Samhita says. That Durga, the spiritual Durga, her reflection, her shadow, is known as Mahamaya. The material energy. I thought I was Mahamaya. I thought I was the husband of Lord Shiva, Parvati. Creating, I'm the world of Maya, it's my creation. But now, hearing from you, my illusion is gone. What did she hear from Gauranga? He revealed her real identity. What was her real identity? Radharani. Ooh, we're frightened of Maya. We're scared of Maya. Sometimes we're not scared. But generally we should be. Scared of Maya. Maya is simply an expansion of Radharani. Mahaprabhu had that vision. From my angular vision, I see you are non-different than Sri Mata. You are my internal potency, the chief of all the potencies. Durga, she is down the line, a long way down the line. Material potency, reflection potency. Just like every day we're offering lotus flowers to Radha Madhava in the Jalabihar. Nice names, all the nice Vrindavan names of Krishna, very sweet. Then some names come. Mahamaya, and I'm giving lotus flowers. Esha Pushpanjali, I'm telling everyone to chant. Esha Pushpanjali. Oh, we don't have flowers. Esha Pushpanjali, these flowers I'm offering unto you. I'm offering unto you in the name of Sri Radhika, Paramaradha, etc. But then, it says one of the names is Esha Pushpanjali Sri Mahamaya Namaha. And the devotees go. Next one is Mahamaya. Mahamaya then. Next one, the next one, Durga. You could Esha Pushpanjali Sri Durgaya Namaha. And they go, Durga, you see the. But the actually these are all names of Radharani. They're all different manifestations. She's the chief of all the different potencies, feminine potencies. She's the chief of all of them. So if we see like that, then even Maya, although sometimes we get really scared, sometimes we even criticize Maya, sometimes even blaspheme Maya for getting too much on our case. But ultimately, if we had that vision, we can see that she's the reflection of Srimata Radharani. We shouldn't criticize the Supreme Goddess, Mother Srimata Radharani. So the illusion is gone. Now we've regained our memory. We can see ourselves clearly. We can see Krishna and these potencies clearly. So, Prabhupada's citing from this verse from the Bhagavatam, 5.18.12. I bought it, and we can read it. Yashasti bhaktir bhagavati akinchana sabe gunas trasamasti suraha. This is how all the devotee gets all the quality, has all the qualities of the demigod. But that's text 12. I want to read text 11 because it's really good and it's really in line with what we're talking about, the potency of hearing and the essentiality of hearing first. So this is text 11. 5.18.11. By association with persons for whom the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Mukunda, is all in all, one can hear of his powerful activities. And soon come to understand them. The activities of Mukunda are so potent that simply by hearing of them, one immediately associates with the Lord. For a person who is constantly and very eagerly, he eagerly hears the narration of the Lord's powerful activities, the absolute truth, the personality of Godhead, in the form of sound vibration, enters within his heart and cleanses it of all contamination. Here is the main function of hearing. It's very important because it's cleansing. And the whole Krishna consciousness movement is a cleansing process. All the processes are cleansing processes, process of karma, jnana, yoga. It's all, you see them all. They're all cleansing. Physical cleansing, mental cleansing, spiritual cleansing. All the different parts of yoga, they're all nothing but cleansing. That's why, more or less, all the parts are the same up to the point of liberation, to get you out of the, cleanse you, to get you out of material energy, shatagun, rajagun, tamagun, bring you out. That's what most yoga systems are for, and purifies. When you're out, then it changes a little bit more. But up until that point, most systems of yoga are the same. The motivation is the same, to get out of the material world. Then that's where bhakti comes into its own. Other philosophies, they finish at that often, like Gyanis, they will say, now we've finished our studies, finished everything, because we're out of the modes of material nature. That was their goal. But for the devotees, Krishna Das Kaviraj said, no, this is not the goal, this is the beginning. Now the hearing really begins. Now we're hearing with bhakti. Now the chanting really begins. Chanting with bhakti, with feeling, with affection. It all begins at that. But anyway, up until that point, well, practically everything is a cleansing process. The whole Varnashram system is a built-in sense, mind-sense controlling process. Simply by following your Varnashram nicely, you don't know what's happening. But you're doing it out of duty, but you're becoming purified. From Brahmachari to Hasta to Brahmaprastha to Sanya. from Shudra to Kshatriya to Vaishya, Vaishya to Kshatriya to Brahmana. It's all purifying. Varnashram is a purifying process. It's all purifying. Why? So we can understand Krishna and pastimes and names and qualities. So this is how important the hearing is. The sound vibration enters into the heart and purifies it of all contamination. On the other hand, although bathing in the Ganges diminishes the bodily contaminations and infections, this process and the process of visiting the holy places can cleanse the heart only after a long time. Therefore, who is the sane man who will not associate with devotees to quickly perfect his life? Why wait a long time? Ganga is there every day. Take a long time to purify it. In purple, Prabhupada says, bathing in the Ganges can certainly cure one of the many infections infectious diseases. But it cannot cleanse one's materially attached mind, which creates all kinds of contamination in material existence. The mind is creating all the contamination. Krishna said the uncontrolled mind would become your enemy, because you create unwanted contaminations. However, one who directly associates with the Supreme Lord by hearing his activities cleanses the dirt from his mind and very soon becomes Krishna conscious. So in other words, if you go specifically to the Ganga to become free from material infections, it'll take a long time. But if you go seeing Ganga Devi as an associate of the Lord, it'll be very quick. You're not praying for material. That'll take a long time to purify yourself. But if you see Ganga Devi as an eternal associate and related to all the pastimes of the Lord, then the process becomes very quick. It says in the end of the 10th canto, Shukadeva Goswami is glorifying Krishna, different aspects of Krishna, and he says, before the event of Krishna in this world, the most purifying agent was Gangamayi Ki, Jaya. She was flowing through the universe. She was purifying everything. She was the most purifying agent in this world. But since the event of Krishna and the members of the Jadu dynasty, who were intimately related to Krishna, who saw him as their friend, uncles, relative, simply because of their association and talking and glorifying Krishna, Krishna and the whole dynasty became more purifying than the Ganges River. More purifying. But, however, it says, if we see Ganga in relation to Krishna's pastimes, you become very quickly, because she is part of the Lord's eternal, internal paraphernalia. Ganga and Krishna, non-different. Ganga, Tulsi, non-different than Krishna. In the Srimad Bhagavatam, it says, Srimbatam Swakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtana Hiridiyanta Stohi Abharani Vidhu Noti Shurit Shatam. The Supreme Lord is with everyone's heart, becomes pleased when a person hears narrations, hearing of his activities, and he personally cleanses the dirt from the mind of the listener. Hiridai anto stohi habadrani vidurnoti. He washes all the dirt from the mind. Material existence is caused by dirty things within the mind. I'm the controller and I'm the enjoyer. These are the dirty things. If one can cleanse his mind, he immediately becomes to his original position of Krishna consciousness and life becomes successful. Cleansing means I am Krishna's servant, he is my master. I will never give up the service of my master. The mind will become clean. When I want to imitate Krishna, be in the control and enjoy, then the mind will become dirty. If one can cleanse his mind, he immediately comes to the original position of Krishna consciousness and thus his life becomes successful. Therefore, all the great saints in devotional line very strongly recommend the process of hearing. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu introduced the congregational chanting of the Maha Mantra to give everyone a chance to hear. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Ram Ram, Hare. One becomes purified, Chitto Dharapanamajanam. Therefore our consciousness movement, Krishna consciousness movement is chiefly engaged in chanting Hare Krishna all over the world. What Chitto Dharapanamajanam means? Cleansing the heart. What is the first, Mahaprabhu left six shlokas, the essence of all of his teachings. What is the first portion? Chaito Dharpanamajana means cleansing the heart. The Mahaprabhu movement begins on this point. Chaito Dharpanamajana, cleanse the heart. Then you're going to actually be able to understand how the holy name is like the full moon and the disappears. But first, Cheto Dharpana Marjanam. First cleanse the heart. Otherwise, how Mahaprabhu can act, how Krishna can act? The dirty heart. Same, all process, cleansing, 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 purification. So, Mahaprabhu's mission begins with this point, Cheto Dharpana Marjanam. Then you're ready to understand Mahaprabhu's teaching. After one's mind becomes cleansed by chanting Hare Krishna, one gradually comes to the platform of Krishna consciousness. And then he reads books like Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar of Devotion. In this way, one becomes more and more purified of material contamination, as stated in Srimad Bhagavatam, Nasta Prayeshu Abhadreshu Nityam Bhagavata Sevaya Bhagavati Uttama Shaloke Bhaktir Bhavati Naishti. By regularly hearing the Bhagavatam and rendering service to the pure devotee, all that is troublesome to the heart is practically destroyed. And loving service unto the glorious Lord, who is praised with transcendental songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. In this way, simply by hearing of the powerful activities of the Lord, the devotee's heart becomes almost completely cleansed of material contamination. And thus his original position as an eternal servant who is a part and parcel of the Lord becomes manifest. While the devotee engages in devotional service, the passionate and ignorant modes of material nature are gradually vanquished. And then he acts only in the mode of goodness. At that time he becomes happy and gradually advances in Krishna consciousness. All the great acharyas strongly recommended people be given a chance to
hear
about the Supreme Lord. Then success is assured. The more we cleanse the dirt of material attachment from our heart, the more we'll be attracted by Krishna's name, form, qualities, paraphernalia, and activities. This is the sum and substance of the Krishna consciousness movement. Nice. Okay, we're on text 12 now. All the demigods and their exalted qualities, such as religion, knowledge, and renunciation, become manifest in the body of one who has developed unalloyed devotion for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vasudeva. On the other hand, a person devoid of devotional service and engaged in material activities has no good qualities. Even if he is adept in the practice of mystic yoga, or the honest endeavor for maintaining his family and relatives, he must be driven by his own mental speculation and must be in the service of the Lord's external energy. How can there be any good qualities in such a man? Purport. As explained in the next verse, Krishna is the source of all living entities. It's also confirmed in Bhagavad Gita, Amaivam so jivalo ki jiva bhuta sanatanam manaha shastanindriyani prakriti ishtani kashati. The living entities in this conditioned world are my eternal fragmental parts. Due to devotional life, they are struggling hard with the six senses, which include the mind. All the living entities are part and parcel of Krishna, and therefore they revive their Krishna consciousness. They possess all the good qualities of Krishna in a small quantity. When one engages himself in the nine process of devotional service, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Bandhanam, Dasham, Shakkam, Matmanivedanam, one's heart becomes purified and he immediately understands his relationship with Krishna. And then he revives his original quality of Krishna consciousness. So one becomes freed from, simply by hearing. This is a great purifying agency, hearing, to purify. So first purifying, by hearing, it's being stressed so much. Hearing purifies, and then you can take to Krishna consciousness. So first he The hearing cleanses the heart and establishes one relationship with Krishna. This is sambandha. From me come remembrance, forgetfulness, and knowledge. So here Krishna says, from me come remembrance. Remembrance of who you are. I've regained my memory. Who I am. So here, Krishna gives remembrance of who you are. When the heart is clean, he gives you remembrance of you, who you are. So that's sambandha. Then you establish the relationship with Krishna. Then chanting, first shravanam, then kirtanam. First chanting, then hearing. First establish the relationship by hearing. Hearing establishes sambandha, understanding who you are. Next is chanting, shravanam, kirtanam. Now you know who you are, now you've got something to chant about. If I don't know who I am, or how can I chant? How can I glorify anything? So chanting means, okay, now I've heard I'm Krishna's servant. I've heard I should be serving Krishna. Krishna's the Supreme Person, you've got it. It's all been revealed by the process of hearing. The relationship is established in the heart, sambandha. Then now chanting. Chanting means direct service. Now you've heard sufficiently, now you can serve. So this is abhideya, the process abhideya. So first sambandha is hearing, establishes sambandha. Chanting, kirtanam, establishes abhideya, the process of devotional service. You get your direct service. Yeah, so here the whole process, first here, otherwise what will you chant? First here, then you chant. Mahaprabhu said, by my order, you become a guru and save the land. Prabhupada was quoting that. He was speaking to some, I think it was in South Africa. He was speaking to this congregation that they're all gone there to earn money. They didn't go there for Krishna consciousness. But they're all there, unless they're born there, of course. But they all go there to collect money and things like that. So Prabhupada's giving a lecture and he says, so you all become gurus and save the land. This is the order of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he said, but you may be saying, well, we're householders. We're working hard. We're not. So how we can become guru? We don't have the qualification. Prabhupada, yes, Mahaprabhu says, I know that. I know you don't have qualification, but by my order, you become a guru. You say, well, we're not qualified to be guru. No, Prabhupada says, no. You hear something about Krishna from Bhagavad Gita, from the devotee. One thing, Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. You repeat that to others. Did you know Krishna was the Supreme Person? No, I didn't know. Yes, he is. Here it says in Bhagavad Gita. My Guru Maharaj told me I'm not this body. Did you know you're not the body? No, I didn't know that. Yes, I'm not this body. So you repeat to someone else. So whatever you heard from Bhagavatam, whatever you heard from the body, whatever you read from Bhagavad Gita, that much you repeat. And then you are Guru. Then you are following Guru's orders. So you can be anywhere. It doesn't mean you have to have the triple danda staff and the sannyasi to preach. You know you become a guru, you're associating with people whole day. Tell them one thing you know about Krishna. Are you a guru? So first hearing, become purified, then you can tell others about Krishna. First hear about Krishna and repeat it. Then you are a guru, then you can save the land. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hari Ram, Hari Ram, Ram Ram. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Shri Prabhupada ki jai. Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. Itai Go Premanandi. Thank you. Hare Krishna. Any comment, questions? Yes.
You also mentioned that when by listening, Krishna comes in the heart, and the heart is cleansed. And while listening, one can find so many dirty themes and patterns of behavior which are fussy, or I don't know what how to say. And then then this means that Krishna is cleaning. That's why I'm seeing all this. So what can we think?
Yes, Krishna says, I sit in the heart and I personally cleanse. But we are so ungrateful that we kick the dirt back again. He's literally, he took the broom. He's sweeping the heart out, get out. We're so ungrateful that we kick it back, get back.
Instead of feeling depressed for seeing so much there to be cleansed, one can think, okay, this is Krishna who is allowing me to see what I need to let.
Yes, whatever works for you, you take it. But somehow or another, you keep your heart clean. Gauranga and Nitya are also a bit more special cases. Because they don't consider the impurities or the purities. In fact, when they hear someone chanting the names of the holy names, when Gauranga and Nitya hear someone chanting Hare Krishna, they enter the heart. Where, who's that chanting Hare Krishna? Ram? No, Ram is Taraka. Gives liberation. Krishna is Paraka. Gives Prema. Krishna and Ram, these two names. Ram is known as Taraka. Gives liberation. And Krishna is known as Paraka, who gives Prema. So first Nitya enters into the heart. He gives liberation. He cleanses everything. Then Prema can come. Taraka, Krishna can come. Because Nitaigor. Anyway, they say, who is chanting the name of Krishna? Who is chanting? They come even the looking for those who are chanting Hare Krishna. And reverse, vice versa. The holy name comes looking for those who are chanting Gornitai's names. Who's chanting Gornitai's names? Who's chanting Gornitai's names? So Krishna, Ram, Nitai comes as Paraka, gives liberation. And then Gauranga comes as and gives Paraka, he gives Prema. They come looking. The holy name comes looking. It's the primeval means of deliverance. But the holy name themselves comes and look for who is chanting the names of Gornitai. Okay. So actually Gornitai come in the heart. They say to the super soul, you can leave now, we're taking over. Give us the broom. Where they clean everything very quickly. They're all gone. Okay. They do all that cleansing. Gornitai, very, very merciful. Anyway, we have to make the choice. And we get that choice at every moment. Because Maya is presenting herself at every moment. Some things are dirty, some things are clean. But we have to make the choice to clean things and make the choice to reject the dirty things. That's our position. And we have to do that every moment. Hare Krishna. Yes.
In the purport to text 11, it said, first the devotee does something, and then he can read books like Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. What was that before reading the books?
Yeah, it was emphasizing that first purification must be there. And because without purification, you won't have attraction. So first purify, then you'll get attraction for Krishna's name from quality pastimes. And then you'll start to read the book. So it's often talking, you know, like some bandha, we're thinking it's such an exalted position. But actually, it's just the natural constitutional position of the living entity. Some bandha. That's just the natural constitutional nature of the living entity. We should have a relationship with Krishna. We should be engaged in a relationship. It's Krishna is there, you are there, it's in the heart. It's simply covered. So Krishna consciousness process is uncovering, uncovering, uncovering. Yeah, so it's emphasizing the whole idea. First become purified, and then you'll become attracted to hearing and chanting and okay, thank you. Hare Krishna. Shri Prabhupada ki. Hare Krishna.